Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Stone, this is going
to
be a good one.
It sure is. Welcome to the World Series of Business, right?
That's right.
We've had a good time this week watching the World Series, my wife and I.
That was a very timely comment. It's very timely. Yeah. The Cubs are still in it. They stayed alive.
I know. It was very tense for us last night because my wife is a big Cubbies fan. But yeah, this is going to be exciting. This is going to be a fantastic segment. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Matthew May with Acuity. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio, it is my distinct pleasure to welcome back to the Business Radio X microphone, Executive Vice President, Chief Information and Product Officer, our good buddy, Jay Farrow. And this new post is with Earthlink.
It is. It is. Last time I was here, I think it was still with the American Cancer Society, right? So, Lee and Stone, my boys. How are you doing?
We are doing great. Earthlink, that is, I believe, one of Atlanta's kind of founding fathers of internet stuff.
Well, we think so. Yeah, I mean, we think so. I, you know, we've been around a long time. We were at, you know, we were there at the dawn of the internet, and you know, probably people know us from our roots, our heritage as an ISP. We do a lot more than that today, but Earthlink is, an Atlanta icon.
So now how would you define what Earthlink's up to nowadays?
Well, I mean, we still have our consumer business, right? We still take great pride in that and have millions of customers. We're excited about them and very thankful, but we have, I think, a differentiated enterprise business too that's doing extremely well, you know, with specialties all over the place, but certainly in multi-location constructs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think where we set ourselves apart, whether it's with managed network or, you know, many of our other services, is our customer experience and the way that we approach it. So when I was at ACS, you know, I was very passionate and continue to be very passionate about the mission of ACS. So it took a lot for me, you know, to leave.
Right.
I mean, you had to be blown out of there with dynamite. And, but Joe Ezer, our CEO, my boss, and the leadership team, and quite frankly, the people top to bottom at Earthlink are so passionate about what they do and the mission that Joe has laid out for us and the vision about differentiating, providing the services that we provide, but providing a higher level of customer experience, innovative solutions, speed to market, intelligence around what an organization is doing was very, very compelling.
Now, your title is Chief Information and Product Officer.
Isn't that nice? That's a very long title. You can see it takes two lines on a business card. It's very inconvenient.
So now, how does Product Officer fit into the role of a Chief Information Officer?
Well, yeah, it's a totally separate role. So product development, many of our products, you know, whether it's SD-WAN, MPLS, or many of our other, you know, products or solutions is probably the better word. You know, they're the opposite side of a very similar, of the same coin for IT, right? Mm-hmm. It had been managed separately and is managed separately in a lot of organizations. Joe felt, and I obviously agreed, that coming in as a CIO, I'd have a unique perspective on what resonates with CIOs and IT organizations from a product management perspective. And so I took over that role when I joined as well. So there's a totally different product development and management organization that is obviously responsible for features and functions of a product, but also is looking at what the market is doing, what customers need, listening to our customers, making sure that we're providing the solutions that they need in a way that resonates with them.
But that sounds kind of like a sales role. Is there some sales?
Well, Joe got a twofer. That's the bottom line.
It does. But you know, it's a technical competency. I think he would be the first to tell you that every employee, top to bottom, no matter what you're doing, you're always selling. And I think one of the things he liked about me is I am a bit of a cheerleader for whoever I work for.
So was that part of that enticed you to join Earthlink, was to have this kind of...
It was. I think the thing that put it over the edge, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, as a CIO, you're kind of compartmentalized into this technical role. And although the role is evolving,
right,
and many CIOs are far more business-facing today than they have been in the past, I think this role is one step closer to my ultimate aspiration of being a CEO. I mean, I've been a CFO before. I've been, you know, a CIO at three or four different companies now. And, you know, to take a more business facing customer centric role was really exciting. And, it was a great opportunity. So, yeah, that was really what put me over the edge. But I can't say enough about the leadership team. He's brought in a lot of new talent. There's a lot of talent with a lot of Earthlink heritage at the senior leadership level. But the one thing that I noticed is that they're all uniformly aligned about our strategy, which was, you know, as well as I do, when you walk into a company, it's who you work for and the people you work with that really kind of define that experience. And I'm happy to say that, you know, I hit a home run by joining them.
So the focus is largely enterprise, right?
It is, yeah. Enterprise, mid-market, but we do a ton in small business. And look, we're moving to a cloud. We're not moving. We are in a cloud-connected world. And, you know, I think Earthlink or any of our, certainly our competitors, we think we do it a lot better. But, you know, we're that backbone, right? We're that backbone. So if you were building a company net new today, right, I don't care how big or small it is, would you build a big data center? And the answer likely is not.
Right.
The answer is likely that you'd put it in a cloud or at least a colo type situation.
Right.
But the reality is the answer for, you know, for organizations with complex technology, you have legacy maybe that has to stay on-prem. You have some that you can put in a co-location facility. You have some that can move directly to the cloud, whether it's 365 or, you know, your HR system or other systems. And you need, you know, a solution or a set of solutions that enables all of that hybrid WAN, hybrid cloud strategy. And we think we do it pretty well.
And then can you help the customer that starts out maybe as small to mid-size and then kind of
scale with them?
Scales
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we look for opportunities to do that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do a ton with our small business, our one location folks, all the way up to hundreds and thousands of locations. And anything in between. So we can grow with you. We can scale with you. We can plan ahead, engineer the solution that makes sense, provide you proactive insights. And like I said before, I think where we can differentiate is the holistic customer experience, not just, hey, we're really nice to you when you call and all those types of things, but, you know, but more solutioning, partnering,
right.
Making
and
sure that we understand.
Right, and you're going to be a strategic trusted advisor. To help make
well, sure, we have to be.
Right,
you know,
to
we
make
have
sure
to
that
be. Yeah.
I don't choose wrong because a small to mid-sized company, especially, can't make a mistake at this level.
Well, they can't, and most of them don't have the depth in of technology experience that that big companies do. Right,
we don't have a CIO, right? I mean, we don't have anything like we don't have Business Radio X.
Well, yeah, and hopefully in those situations, we are your trusted advisor, right? We are your CIO. We're your network engineering team. And, you know, we feel, you know, if we're doing our job right, we've gotten to know you, we've gotten to know your strategy, we've gotten to know where you want to be in 6 months, 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, and can grow with you and become an adjunct member of that team, you know, and we're solutioning beyond just, you know, the transaction. And that's where I think that that customer experience comes in.
Now, in terms of priorities, where is Earthlink's priorities now? You mentioned that, you know, back in the day, it was consumers. Now, how would you prioritize where your
well, those are always going to remain a priority for us, right? Because they're our heritage and they're super important to us. And we've done, I think, under, like I was mentioning off the air, Jen Spindell, our SVP over consumer, has just done an amazing job in continuing to nurture that business. But we have a lot of talent growing our enterprise base as well. And that's really where I think our growth opportunities are, providing innovative solutions like SD-WAN, software-defined, you know, wireless access networking, which really offers a whole lot of flexibility when it comes to uptime and bandwidth management and that that user experience, so that if you have user-facing type applications, you know, if you're in a retail chain, you have people coming in, you don't want it blipping on and off. So an SD-WAN type solution really provides that 100% uptime kind of experience, because, you know, ultimately we want you to have a great experience, but we want your customers to have a great experience, right? Because if you're making your customers happy, that means we're doing our job. Right. And that's where that comes in. So there's a lot of growth potential in that space.
But are those customers already have a vendor that you're trying to move them away from, or
we'd like that. Earthlink.com, please. And we will send somebody out today. But no, But many of them do have incumbents, and certainly those contracts are up for renewal, and we'd love to.
But so, how are you getting part of the getting in the conversation for that business?
Well, I mean, we're going through a whole brand revitalization, and you know, our chief marketing officer is new, Jeff Crow. He's terrific. He's got a great pedigree. He and I are immediate partners in crime. We've talked on this show many times about the CIO CMO relationship and how important that is to success at a company. And we were thick as thieves day one. So we're very much in alignment on that. So taking a look, getting Earthlink invited to the table, making sure that we have a presence in most major communities, letting people know that we're still around and that we're thriving and we're doing great and that we have a unique value proposition. The other priority is we grew a lot through acquisition, right? So as a putting my CIO hat on just for a minute, you know what that means. It means the same thing that it meant at ACS with 12 different companies all doing things their own way, where you have different back-end systems kind of doing the same thing, and they weren't rationalized. I'm happy to say we've made a ton of progress. When Joe came on 2.5 years ago, they laid the foundation, and he brought me in to kind of speed things up and really build, you know, that one Earthlink infrastructure. So it's going very well. We're off to a good start, and I'm optimistic.
It shouldn't surprise me anymore after so many conversations with CIOs, but I am reminded from time to time, and here again, even though it's a technical domain, relationship is so important in your business. These folks that are going out and having these conversations with business people, I mean, it's relationship that's the foundation, isn't it?
It is a relation. And I try to tell, you know, whether it's vendors or partners or even in the networking discussion. And I mean, I'm looking over at my fellow guest over here today and his business, which we'll hear about. But it's all about relationships. I do business today as a CIO with so many organizations or partners that I couldn't give business 2 years ago. It wasn't because I didn't want to. It was maybe because I had an incumbent and I had no need, but they kept the relationship going. They kept learning about my organization. Mm-hmm. And when I did have an opportunity, they were there. You know, they were providing value along the way. They were nurturing the relationship. But it is a relationship business. And I think we're getting a lot better at it. We have a great sales force. We have very passionate people. I tell you what, I've had the chance to visit some of our offices around the country, and people have been with us, you know, 17, 20, 22 years, and they're like family, and they're very passionate about it, which is pretty cool in a tech firm to have people there that long, but also treat it like it's, you know, it's their family. It's very cool.
So have you been there long enough to dive into the recruiting, development, training process to start getting some insight into how they pull that off? Because I would think that would be absolutely critical to having that caliber of folks on board and keeping them on board.
It's true. I mean, the war for talent is ridiculous, right? In this city, we know that, and everywhere. So I have talent. In 2016, you're not going to generally have talent in one place. So most of my IT staff or my product staff is all over the country. I mean, I have people in Rochester, in Vancouver, in Alabama, in all over the place. A lot of work from home folks. And quite frankly, if you're good at your job and you're in a role that supports that, I don't really care if you're on the moon. I mean, I with today's technology, right. I mean, I can Skype you in, we can look at each other. Now, is it ideal? Sometimes, especially when you're going through a transformation. No. I mean, I think there are times you want to look a guy in the eye and you know, and look your team and sit down with her and just kind of, you know, have that hallway conversation. But it's the next best thing. So, you know, we have a lot of very talented people. But you know as well as I do, you've heard me talk about transformation before. A team that is going to transform, consolidate, and take the next evolutionary step is not maybe the same team that was used to run and maintain. So you've got to look at your talent and see where your gaps are, upgrade where necessary, get the right people in the right seats. And that means recruiting, right? And, you know, part of it is selling people on the vision that Earthlink is here. Earthlink is doing some fun, innovative things across the tech front, you know, getting them a chance to know our culture, which I think is key to recruiting, that we have a terrific culture and that we're a place to be. You remember when I first came on here with ACS, I think I probably said something to the effect of, I wanted to be a destination for IT talent. Mm-hmm.
You
right?
did say something.
Yeah, I wanted to be a destination for IT talent. I mean, there were people for years that didn't even know we were headquartered here. And I want to do the same thing with Earthlink. We're a destination for IT talent, right? And that we're doing fun things. We have a great culture. We're very competitive in our comp. You know, they got a goofy CIO that's willing to make fun of himself.
Well, here's what I'm
clearly
realizing.
They can shore me up. I need all the help I can get. Wheels are coming off, man.
Well, here's what I'm realizing just now, and there's no room for it on your card, but you're kind of executive vice president of change management to a large degree.
Well, yeah, it is. You know, and I believe every exec. Thank you for saying that, by the way. Thank you. That's actually I take that as a great compliment, because I think anytime you go into an organization that's going through any kind of change or transformation, it is incumbent on all executives, really all leaders in the company, to be agents of change, right? Mm-hmm. And to be able to remain positive, show folks the vision. It's tough day to day, right? Because you're getting people, you know, they want to know what's in it for them. What is this going to mean? But it's tough. But I, you know, I wouldn't be there if I didn't buy in. I wouldn't be there if I didn't believe in what we wanted to accomplish. We have a great board. We have a great executive team. Our frontline staff is terrific. So, how tied I was to the mission at ACS.
Right.
But I'm happy to say I recently was elected to the board for the South Atlantic Division of American Cancer Society. Oh, so I get to serve in that capacity.
So you're still
too.
Involved there.
Oh, well. Gosh, man. You can leave, you can leave them, but it never leaves you. I mean,
but when you have a change of this size and complexity, yeah. even when things are going exactly as planned, it's still a significant disruption from the established pattern. You're still dealing with people.
You are.
It's not a picnic, even when things go just like you drew them up on the whiteboard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's
right?
When have they ever gone like that?
Yeah, right.
If people would just look at my whiteboard, they would clearly understand where I was going. But you're right. And it's how you manage that change and how you manage conflict. Executives don't get paid to make black and white decisions. If we did, then we're way overpaid. I feel like we're paid to make the gray decisions and deal with ambiguity. I think, you know, we have to remember that we're dealing with human beings and their livelihood. We're dealing with people who are very passionate about what they do, families, all of those things. But at the end of the day, you know, you've got to mesh that with business results. We're a publicly traded organization. We have to be the best we can be. I'm of the mind, though, that you can do both, you know, and they're inextricably linked. We can provide an amazing customer experience that allows our customers to provide an amazing customer experience. And if we do that in the right way, and paint that vision, then we become an IT and a product destination of choice. So we're attracting top talent.
Right. Everything feeds itself.
And everything feeds itself. And guess what happens then? Your customers are happy. You get more customers. They stay with you longer. Your board is happy. Your shareholders are happy. And it all is inextricably linked. And that's a beautiful thing. So.
Now, in this SD-WAN kind of service offering, that's kind of new in the world today, right? That's not something that's been around for many years. Are there certain areas or certain companies that lend itself to this more than others?
Well, I mean, I think most companies can benefit for it, but it is a newer technology. I'm proud to say that we were one of the first out there with the technology and are delivering it today. But if you're in an organization that has high customer touch, that has...
So it's retail, restaurants?
Restaurants and so many more. I mean, healthcare, obviously, is huge, where uptime is absolutely important to you. Downtime is just not acceptable. You want greater intelligence about how your network is being used.
Performing. Right.
You know, not only, hey, you know, if I have, Stone and Lee, you know, over there browsing YouTube too much, watching Hulu
NASCAR.
And catching up on their NASCAR, catching up on their Walking Dead binge and draining my bandwidth. I need to know that.
Right.
And that's probably the nicest thing you guys are watching. I'm not sure what else is going on back there.
But that's something where in other, I don't know what you call them, but other systems don't allow you to kind of identify that as quickly?
Not as quickly. And I think the way we've woven it together with, we have a portal we call MyLink, and the way that we've taken that intelligence and put it in a, you know, cohesive experience is really what has helped us differentiate us and is mm-hmm. helping differentiate us. So it's just beyond the technology. I mean, I think a lot of people can provide the box. A, it's our knowledge. You know, B, it's our people. C, it's the overall customer experience and the intelligence that it brings. As a CIO, putting my CIO hat back on, you know, I got to tell you, it's pretty compelling that, you know, if I can take a cable connection or, you know, broadband type connection or a couple of those or marry it with MPLS or whatever, and I can get a guaranteed, you know, 100% uptime SLA type situation, that's pretty darn compelling because I don't want volunteers or customers or whether it's them hitting guest Wi-Fi or you're in a high transaction business or, I mean, think about the retail experience today, how much it's morphing. You walk into an Apple store, everywhere you go, I mean, it knows exactly where you are in the store, using beaconing technology and all that. That's just the beginning. I mean, you've got to lay the foundation for that. And even the smaller chains and the smaller locations are going to be able to take advantage or are taking advantage of that type of technology, and we can be with them for that.
And you can help kind of lead them, not just provide the service.
Anybody, yeah. Right. We want to partner with them and solution with them. And that's another component of that customer experience.
Right, it's almost like a concierge service that you're offering.
Well, wow, you are reading mine. Thank you very much for saying that. Yes, it is. Absolutely, we offer concierge service.
We should get all your folks white gloves.
You know, our CMO walks around the office with white gloves, and he does that. Jeff does that. You know,
he's OCD.
He is OCD, and a few other things I can't say on the air. But he goes around just wearing white gloves, and he doesn't own them though. He's a lease with an option to buy. But he,
But for me, all the gigaboogies aside, what I'm attracted to, what I'm enamored with from this conversation is your commitment to view things through the lens of serving the customer's customer. That's the framing. You guys are serious about that whole chain.
That's it.
Yeah.
You just summed it up, right? I mean, if you have a retail chain or a restaurant chain or a healthcare, a multi-location healthcare organization, and even if they're one, I don't care if they're 500 or one, and their customers aren't being taken care of, that's not very good for them. And, right. and we certainly don't want to be part of the problem. We want to be part of the solution. And if their customers are having that experience that they want, they're going to be happy. And that's ultimately what we want, because then we become very sticky and we become very compelling. And I will tell you again, at ACS and at AIG and many other companies, when you have a partner that is there and they understand what you're trying to accomplish, they're providing great value with their solutions. When you pick up the phone, they're there and they know you. You're not customer 13874. And they've been with you through that journey, that they are very hard to let go. And you don't want to, and there's no reason to. And there's a difference between a vendor and a partner. And
it sounds like you're anticipating needs. It's, again, you're not just a vendor. You're out front of it, and you're helping kind of lead the person that doesn't, or the team that doesn't have kind of the insight that you guys have, to a solution that they may not have even thought of yet.
Oh, I think so. I think that's very well put. I feel like SD-WAN in particular is one of those newer things where people hear it, they may think it's something that it's not.
And an SD-WAN situation where, like, they might have trouble, like, we don't know why this credit card, or we're having trouble here clearing it. And it could be, like you said, because Bill is in the back streaming The Walking Dead.
Right.
It could be something totally unrelated.
I don't know about Bill, but Bill's probably doing something worse than that. I don't know, Bill. We got to figure out what he's doing.
That could be stressing the system that's causing a problem in another area.
Well, that's exactly
but
it. You nailed it.
You're holistically looking at the system in a way that they may not be able to connect the dots themselves.
You absolutely nailed it. That's exactly right. And, you know, providing that intelligence. And we're just at the beginning of what we're doing. We have a great roadmap. My team, my product team, my IT team. We have a great roadmap for our MyLink service. We think our concierge service is something pretty special. I can tell you, on the other side of the curtain, you know, inside, we take it very seriously, extremely passionate about it. So the best is yet to come, but we're already pretty good.
Now, we've talked a little bit about consumer. We've talked a little bit about enterprise. How are you serving the small to mid-sized business? Because our next guest has a lot of opinions about that.
Well, they're just as important, right? I mean,
what are some of the services you offer them?
All the same types of services. You know, SD-WAN might not be a play for all small businesses or one location. Maybe it is, depending on, you know, what they do, right? If they're a high transaction or a high touch, and They require that cloud connectivity or that customer experience. It may very well be a play for them. But we're certainly providing, you know, internet connectivity. We're providing secure Wi-Fi. We're providing a lot of other security solutions and other things as well. So we have thousands of small business customers, thousands of single location customers, and we're very thankful for them. So all those same types of services are available for the small business person who does not have an IT company or an IT staff.
Right.
They are... And they, in many cases, they want to set it and forget it. They want it to work. They want it to work well. They want to make sure it's affordable. And, you know, that's where we come in.
And they want to know that, look, if there is something that comes up that I've got a question about or so, I just want to call Joe or Sue or, you know, over to Earthlink. And I don't even have to know that much about the stuff. Or at least that's how I would feel about it.
I would feel, and we feel the same way, that we know them, that when you call, we know who it is. We know the solution that we've put in place for you, right? We can very quickly get up to speed on what perhaps is going wrong and you know, get on top of it very quickly and get you back to, ideally, there's no problems. And ideally, we know about it before you even know about it. But I mean, in certain cases that if we don't, that we respond very, very quickly and get you back.
And it may not be a problem. It might be a new thing, a new technology. That
might be like a what if. You know, we're sitting around saying what if, and I'm like, well, I don't know if we can do that or not. You know,
call Earthlink. Yeah,
yeah, call Earthlink. See what I tell you. What would be fun when you get good and settled in, and you know where the coffee pot and the copy machine is, and all that. What would be fun if you're up for it? I think it would be a really strong segment. Is to have you or someone from your team come in with a local client. And talk about
we'd
that.
Love it. How, oh, that would be a privilege.
Get that 360 view. Would
you be an Earthlink 360 view of.
I would love it. I would love it. In fact, some of our colleagues that have been in this room before are Earthlink customers, and I would not bring in a home. I would not bring in a Homer. I would not bring in a Homer. I promise. Or a ringer. A man enough to take someone that I, you know, that we wouldn't do that. But I would love that opportunity, man. Right, and so you can grill them. You can grill them and say, "Was Jay telling the truth?" Let's roast Jay on live radio. Watch him sweat.
All right. Well, if somebody wants to learn more, reach out to you about this new SD-WAN service.
Earthlink.com. 24/7, 365, baby. Earthlink.com. Or if they want to hit me up on Twitter, they can do that too. Jay Farrow. All one word.
Well, congratulations on the new post. I think Earthlink is blessed to have you. It's always so much fun to have you in the studio, and we're quite sincere about that. We'll make that happen.
Are the best. You guys have been the best for years. We've worked together so often, and thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
Yes, sir. Hey, can you hang with us while we visit with our next guest?
I'd love to.
All right, Lee, you ready for the headliner?
Ready.
we're done with the undercard.
I've warmed up. There's only one way to go. The audience is like, okay, now we're going up.
All right, it is time now to welcome to the broadcast from Acuity, Mr. Matthew May. How are you, man?
Doing great. The Falcons won last night, so we're doing really good.
Yeah, that was an exciting game as well. We've completely dated this broadcast in every possible way.
Falcons
Halloween,
win anytime.
Cubbies won. Well, that's true. Falcons are doing well.
Falcons win a lot right now, so we got a good run.
So, did you learn anything in that last segment?
Well, I love hearing what's going on with the infrastructure, because so many of our clients, we work almost exclusively with technology clients, and the backbone and everything that we're doing on the infrastructure side is just critically important to just making the progress that we see every day with some of the cool technologies out there. It might not be as sexy as some of the headlines or some of the other technology companies get to make, but without it, they don't get to make any fun headlines.
Oh, no. I'll tell you what, for IT people, all of that is sexy. I mean, look, if you don't take care of the core blocking and tackling, nobody cares about the sexy stuff.
Exactly.
Right? You know, you always hear about innovation. Nobody cares about innovation if email's not working.
That's a good point. So, Matthew, can you share a little bit about Acuity? What are you guys doing for folks?
Sure. We're the one-stop back office for small business. So think of a business about $1 million in revenue. We help them with their bookkeeping, some more sophisticated accounting, and then we have CFOs on staff if they need something strategic. So they can go to one place and get their full accounting shop in order. So.
And then how did you get into this start serving that clientele?
I've been a CPA all my career, My original job, we were working with doing a bunch of audits and going back a year, and we were living in the past all the time. And I got the bug working with these early stage technology companies where I wanted to help, and I wanted to be in the now and the today. So Acuity gave me the chance to start something where you're actually impacting these small businesses. Because, I mean, we're looking at statistics showing that if people don't do their financials, like getting their books and records more than annually, if they don't do it monthly, it reduces their chances of success from 80% success rate to like 39% success rate, just because they're not looking at their the blocking and tackling stuff on the accounting side.
Yeah.
The stats are kind of crazy.
Well, you'll be very proud of my son. So I met my son yesterday at college. I was, you know, he's a college freshman. And he said, Dad, I'm thinking about majoring in accounting. And I was, A, jealous that he was intelligent enough to say that, but that was not my forte. But anyway, yeah, if you could, you know, hire him in about 4 years.
That's right. We'll work on that.
Intern. So now, can you share a little bit about, you mentioned your work with some of these up-and-coming tech companies, but you're doing some work with Techstars and Venture Atlanta. Can you share?
I mean, this is a great, we got the opportunity to go down to Techstars. The cohort's been blowing and going here in town. The really exciting companies. We got to go down into the financial literacy component to that education program. They're doing their demo day tomorrow. Should be a great, exciting week in the Southeast. We're going to date the program really bad. Sorry. because Venture Atlanta is the next 2 days after that. And we've got 29.
Man, there's so much going on.
We got 29 CEOs lined up to really just showcase what the Southeast is doing and specifically how impactful Atlanta has been in the technology change. It's been pretty fun.
Now, and Jay, you could speak on this too, just the evolution of the Atlanta market where, you know, a few years ago, there weren't co-working spaces, there weren't incubators and accelerator at the number that there are today. It's crazy, huh?
It's crazy. They're all over. And the amount of brain power that we're not only growing locally with, you know, Georgia Tech, UGA, Georgia State, et cetera, but that's coming, that's flooding the city and the interest. Man, I love, what a great place to be. I mean, it is. The buzz is terrific.
It's so exciting. You must be seeing this firsthand. You get to see their books.
Well, yeah.
You see how they're doing.
It's really cool to see the clusters pop up. You know, you get the really deep PhD guys over at Georgia Tech. You've got Buckhead kind of emerging as this kind of marketing tech hub. I got 200,000 square feet of co-working space. And now between that, like kind of a one block radius around Piedmont and Lenox, which is, you know, 4 years ago, there was nothing up in Buckhead in that vein. So Midtown, downtown, Pond City Market now with MailChimp moving over there.
Isn't that place awesome?
It's phenomenal.
It is. I mean, just, you know, besides the retail experience and all the restaurants.
And how they transformed that building.
Oh my gosh. What a fun environment.
Right. That's the same folks who did Chelsea Market in New York.
Is it really? Mm-hmm. I did not know that. Wow. I love that area too.
Yeah.
So a small but growing firm that may want to go after capital, may want to go after angel funding or venture capital, they need to have their ducks in a row on all this, on these books too, right?
When
people are getting funding, first they go, are they using Earthlink?
That's right. That's the first question.
That's like a deal breaker. Yeah.
Right. Oh, gosh, you got it.
Make sure Earthlink's your backbone. That's A.
Make sure Acuity's your financial department. Right, that's B.
There we go. Once you have those two,
it's all over.
Make it rain.
But no, the financials, I mean, the cleaner those are and the more, right?
Well, we helped people raise about $100 million last year in angel and venture capital. And part of that is just, having a good kind of financial system is just building some trust with your investors and having some kind of presenting things in a way that they're used to seeing. Half the time you're just making sure it's communication. We consider kind of accounting a foreign language a lot of times. So I joke on my Twitter that I'm the accounting translator for entrepreneurs, you know, because it truly feels like that. So helping entrepreneurs shape their business and put it in a language where investors can understand it, that's a big deal.
I'll bet it would be for me.
Yeah. Can you share some mistakes that newbies make?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, the biggest mistake is falling behind. You know, it's not unusual for us to see somebody that hasn't done something for 2 years, three years.
So they just bring you a big shoebox and say, here's my financials.
They don't even have a shoebox. I mean, they're just like, I haven't done anything. I didn't make enough money, so I probably don't need to worry about, you know, filing taxes. And we work with them on simple questions on, you know, an investor's going to ask you for, like, have you filed a tax return? if you've been around for a little bit, like at some point down the road, like, and you can't say, nah,
tax return.
We forget about that.
Totally optional.
So, totally optional. So one of the things we do, I mean, we work with getting people through some simple checks and balances. Once you get a little more sophisticated, we like our entrepreneurs to be able to say, yes, we reconcile our bank accounts. I mean, because I always ask entrepreneurs, do you want an investor to say, do you reconcile your bank accounts? And you have to say no. Or
you don't want to have to say no to any of those questions,
like,
right?
Like, just there's some simple blocking and tackling controls. I think that's the number one kind of misstep, is just putting some simplicity in. And it's almost so simple, because you can do it yourself, many of these things. What we talk to people about, and what we've tried to do, is productize it so our offering's small enough that they can afford to do it. Because what will happen is they'll just get behind. They'll just, right. I mean, they're not accountants. They're IT guys. They're radio guys. They're doing something they're passionate. And the last thing you want them to get bogged down with is accounting.
All right. So completely hypothetically, I mean, I am just making this up, but let's say there was a number two man in a small but growing company. And doing well by a lot of definitions, but maybe the number two man, you know, does what he can with QuickBooks to try to keep things in. And, you know, it's time to grow up, and they talk to Acuity. What does that look like? Do we sit down and look at our version of the books and go, walk us through that whole consultation engagement cycle?
Sure. I mean, most of the people we talk to, it takes between a half hour and an hour, like in a conversation, to figure out about how much it would cost for us to take over your bookkeeping and accounting. Most people between...
You mean just an anguish of having to deal with a guy, or are you talking about how much it would cost them?
Emotionally.
We try to get over that emotional hurdle early in the call.
Right.
Yeah, because a lot of times
therapy
people,
is part of your...
Oh, wow, that's a nice offering.
We do.
Talk them off the ledge.
I joke about our... We offer free CFO office hours with our all of our bookkeeping packages, and I call those the you're not crazy hours. Because half of a CFO's job, it seems like, is to sit with an entrepreneur and say, you're not crazy.
That makes familiar, sense. Jay?
You're not crazy.
It does very much so. No, it does very much so.
All right. So walk us through it, though. Seriously, like, what would that look like?
Sure.
Especially in the early portion.
On the tactical side, it's a little different than if you're looking for more strategic services. But let's talk about the tactical side, just taking the headache off of you. So we've actually distilled it down to, we can ask a few questions about how many transactions you have, how many bank accounts you have, and we can get to a point where, like, if you're a company that has less than 50 transactions and two bank accounts, you're at $200 a month, you know, and we're taking over your bookkeeping. We're getting you financial statements every month. So that's kind of our entry level kind of, we call it our startup package for people.
I'm spending that on bourbon. I mean,
I know.
I can just reallocate that.
Oh, that's what this is in front of me. It's bourbon. All right.
I can just reallocate that budget. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, people, what the stats say is the average business owner spends 80 hours a year doing their books and records. And that's assuming it's like a $500,000 to $1 million business. You know, we walk them through and trying to figure out how much of that we can kill and see if they find it worth it to pay somebody else to do it. And that's always the trick. But I think a lot of people are finding it meaningful.
And then once you get that kind of thing in place and you've got the tactical, then you can have, it's hard probably to have a strategic conversation with a guy that's shaking, right? So after you get all that put to bed, then you can start having a more strategic conversation with the two guys that are running this thing and want to, you know, really get positioned to have additional options available to them.
Well, what people have found nice is after we start doing the tactical stuff, they you know, they'll come up with needing a line of credit, or they'll want to raise some money or do something very kind of not a continuous need, right?
Like a project,
but,
almost.
But yeah, it's a project. So you're there though to be able to step in and help them, and you can tell them, oh, these banks aren't really playing with technology companies right now. So there's three banks right now in the Southeast that really are being aggressive with technology companies, but so we can shortcut all those.
And you probably know the way they like the paperwork and the things they're looking for.
We know what they are looking for, what forecast they're looking at, what they're going to discount, what they're going to kind of build the line of credit at, and what size. And we can just shortcut that a little bit. It saves time on both the entrepreneur side and the banker side.
Now, are you a CPA for the firm, or are you a bookkeeper, or where's the line on that?
So I'm a CPA, And but
I saw the eye twitch when you said that.
Exactly. But he's recovering.
I'm a recovering CPA. I don't do taxes, which really confuses my mom on April 15th every year when she calls me and asks how I'm doing. We actually have some of our bookkeepers are CPAs.
Okay, so Acuity can take on the, not you personally, but Acuity, the organization, can take on CPA.
We don't do any taxes or any audits. So it's a little different than most people are approaching the market. So we just totally replace. It's like a shared service center in a big company like Earthlink that's dealing with all the accounting.
So you work with the company CPA firm.
Absolutely. You never have to talk to your CPA again because we talk to them for you. That's one of the selling points.
For the love of God, make them go away. They're confusing
me. That's
the
first bullet on the brochure.
We run interference.
Like, you never have to talk to your CPA again. They call us and ask us all the questions.
That's a great tagline. That's good stuff.
How does the whole sales and marketing thing work? Because I get the sense that if you can have a conversation at this level with a lot of business owners, you probably get the business. But just getting a chance to have this conversation. So how does that whole sales and marketing thing work for you guys?
We're taking a different approach than a lot of folks. So we're treating it like a software sale. So we have a group of 13 people now that they add 40 people to their pipeline every day. And they try to, a business owner, they're targeting business owners that are just under 50, that have less than 20 people, that look like they've been in business the first 2 to 3 years, all over the country. And then they send them a bunch of emails and phone calls and try to get them on the phone. And then once we got them on the phone, we try
so
to work our magic.
So you're treating it as a SaaS sale?
It's an SDR. We have 8 SDRs and we have 3 AEs, and so we treat it exactly like a SaaS sale, which we haven't seen very many companies like ours in the country doing that. There's 3 of us that we've identified so far that are doing it that way, but we're really attacking the country. And a year ago this time, we passed the milestone where half of our clients were outside of Atlanta in the Southeast. So that was a testament to that.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Terrific. So is there a demo layer or a trial layer to this, like a lot of SaaS sales? Or?
Well, we actually had some marketing debate about that, because we're such a service offering and we bundle technology with our service that it really confused people to call it a demo. So we've actually moved away from that language, but we do try to get people on with all the technical people. We look at it more like a technical consultation, right, in the sales cycle. If we can get it down to a technical conversation, that's usually good.
Very cool.
So now the pain that a small company's having is that they've never done their books before, or they've done it and hate it. The prospect?
Well, the weird thing about the environment is that the technology has gotten so good that the entrepreneur has to be in it so little that they don't know how to use it the way it should be used. Mm. So, I mean, literally a bookkeeper of ours could work on 30 startups. Like, they could be the bookkeeper for 30 different startups. And if you can imagine an entrepreneur, like, you're in it 1 or 2 hours once a month.
Right, and you're always kind of recreating the wheel.
And then you're like,
it's the first time.
Why is
time.
That not connected? Or what does that mean with an exclamation point? That's got to be bad.
Right.
I mean, you're seeing all these red flags in the technology. So most of our people are really heavy technology specialists. We hire accountants, and then we really heavily train the technology piece of it, as opposed to the opposite. So
if somebody wants to learn more, where can they find Acuity online?
Acuity.co. There's no M because we're hipsters now. Acuity.co.
That's acuity.co.
That's right. Or I'm the tech CPA on Twitter, so you can always follow me on Twitter, and that's always a fun way to get us.
In these events, let's make sure we got the coordinates, dates for these upcoming things.
Well, we got the TechStars Demo Day coming Tuesday,
right?
Tuesday evening, and then Venture Atlanta is Wednesday and Thursday. It's going to be, we're going to have 120 venture capitalists and angel investors over at the College Football Hall of Fame, with 29 companies presenting on Wednesday and Thursday. And then we got a lot of those investors, they work together because those investors will be in town. A lot of those investors come into the demo day watching the new TechStars cohort graduate.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Oh, thank you guys. Always fun.
And thank you, Jay.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.